Services Providers Limited. Unit 4B, Nice Lock Road, Clondalkin, behind the Jensen Hotel. We deliver the goods, you get the bargain.
If you're thinking of recarpeting or buying new floor coverings, then come to the experts. Rhino Ritchie Discount Carpets and Vinyl. Rhino Ritchie. Recarpet your home as if it's our own, and our prices will leave you floored. Rhino Ritchie. We also welcome orders from club holders and groups, and everything is fitted to perfection by our own contract fitter, Rhino Ritchie. There's a free measuring and estimate service, and you can pay by the week, which means no massive bills. Rhino Ritchie. Call in and see us at 1B Capital Crescent, Monastery Road, Clondalkin, and in the Finglas Town Centre, Rhino Ritchie. Or telephone at Finglas Dorkin on 591159, or Finglas on 362-900. Rhino Ritchie Discount Carpet and Vinyl. Don't settle for second best. Rhino Ritchie.
I'm 6 minutes past 2 o'clock. Is that Boston, Modern Fitting? We say, look, Natalie, who's 17 today. Happy birthday to you, Natalie. That comes in from your mother and father and brother and sisters out there in Ballyfermot. Joe Rob and Eamon Cooke are coming along very, very shortly with the captain's news for the station next this Monday. I know we're going to get a clap of sign up. Meantime, this is Andrew Gold. Thank you for being a friend.
Being a friend. Travel down a road and back again. Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant. I'm not ashamed to say, I hope it always will stay this way. My hat is off, won't you stand up and take a bow?
7 minutes away from the hour, 3 o'clock. Good afternoon to you. It's Sunday, the 7th of June, 1992, Community Radio Dublin Station News for this Sunday afternoon. Welcome along, and good afternoon. Well, good afternoon to you. You're welcome. If you've just joined to the station news. We weren't here last week, away on a weekend away, enjoying ourselves. And I do believe Evan didn't make the news last week. Doing that thing, as I said, part of the reason I was away, and to do with that. Other matters concerning the director, and there was no station news last week, but there will be this week. And he's there, after all that noise.
It's funny, where is that coming apart?
He's Well, you've got rid of that nagging hum that's been there all week, anyway.
Well, it's not there all week.
It's gone now.
Sure, this microphone has just this one lead disconnected. I'm gone.
We should start off with congratulating you, sir. Birth of a new baby girl.
The family is growing at high speed.
I've had no problem with this doctor's come a couple of years.
A few years' time. It'll
be a bit like Liberty 104, won't it?
It will be.
I'm told you're on next day. It's been a few days for a couple of hours, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, laddie. It's been a pretty, how would you put it, interesting week in radio. Let's go back to last week before. We didn't have a station news last week, but we had the Wednesday before that, we had an evening press story on the station.
We had,
It was a good story.
Nice, definitely. Can't complain about it.
But the guy seemed to be under the delusion we were on some type of a ship. Saying things about weather damage and storm damage and
first
mate
really
and captain and...
I was going back to the 58 in Chicago. The photograph was 58 in Chicago.
And he was even, like, when he was explaining the premises, he explained...
Run down premises. Well, in Chicago it was that way. It was run down when we got it approved, the Vicky, but over the years it drifted back.
And the department didn't do much to help matters either.
They sure didn't. They took the roof apart.
But this is not too run down, is it?
No, it is nice and comfortable. I think most of that interview, the press was done over the phone. They hadn't come up to take photographs or anything.
Been informed that we had moved. That was the one thing that did annoy me. Had been informed that we had moved, and then we'd moved to a new premises, and I just didn't like that reference to the station.
Exactly.
But that was not a nice reference. But the story was there. We were in the paper.
It's publicity.
We were in the Herald a couple of weeks before that. And if all goes well this week, we'll be in the paper a little bit.
We were supposed to be in the letters to the editor somewhere this week. Interviews we're not supposed to have, according to him.
We have little tapes of that certain gentleman on the radio station. We have the ability as well to write in letters ourselves, replying to these such things.
It's amazing, though, when we fish.
It's been well unavailable hour. Holy mother, what was that?
Oh, now you're asking.
The department out there.
Someone's coming in on two-way radio over.
Off you go anyway, you were saying.
It's amazing how many are like that. They've got into licensed radio, or they've drifted out of Irish radio into something else, and they're the very ones, like, even politicians, anyone in the entertainment, they've all used Irish radio for their own ends,
even
to promote their own things. Yes, exactly. But he's not just out to run it down. I mean, a lot of others, though. Irish radio, when you think of some of them that have gone to RTE, to acknowledge that they came from Irish radio, no way.
We started an RTE team.
Now, Joe Ryan and some of the others, there's no problem, but there's a fellow that's Dan Dempster. You mentioned Paris radio. Not you.
I was up in Larry's Takeaway on Friday evening getting my usual chips and burger, and those mean people up there were listening to 98 FM, but we won't go into that. Father Michael Cleary was on here, and he was introducing a guest, and he said that the first time he'd interviewed this guest was on the pirate radio station, Radio Dublin. And then he said, no, maybe pirate is a bit too strong. He says, the radio station, Radio Dublin.
Make sure, people like that now, I've made down to earth, lads there. No problem at all. Look, you take me clearly, he's an old man down to earth.
He's the human face of the church.
He is, really, yeah. He's the sort you should imagine that priest should be.
Yeah.
But there's no problem there in saying, oh, yeah, he was on Radio Dublin. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The very first day that he was on 98 FM, he went on to say he started in Radio Dublin and all this, and he was severely reprimanded for those who matched. But he made them.
He made them, yeah. There's no problem in liking like that.
And he went on then the Easter after that to say that he had tried to persuade the management of 98 FM to run an Easter legacy, but they couldn't, so he would be contacting Radio Dublin.
Yeah,
it didn't like that.
Did, of course. Yeah.
But this fella, I mean, it's Elvis Presley. He's an artist who's died, who is probably the world's most famous singer, definitely surrounded in a lot of controversy, and people want to know about it. And Paul Downey spends 20 or 30 quid every month getting an exclusive interview from people in Graceland, the people associated with Elvis, and this fella cannot take that.
No, because he has a nice posh accent, comes from a nice posh area, and has loads of money.
And he can rule the world.
Yeah, he's already closed down two fan clubs there, and he's the official one. And that's it, he can do it his way.
Well, this is Radio Dublin.
It is. We've taken on a fair few. The last I said that, well, we'll sort them out. I remember the best man in that, was back in 78 or so, Conor Cruiser Brown. Sort us out. He lost his seat, and if we would have had access to voters in the Senate, he would have lost his Senate seat.
It just seems stupid to me that, Paul has been doing an Elvis Presley program for 15 years, years. He's been doing it for, about 13 of those years on Radio Dublin.
And the one thing you will have to say about it is, Paul is in no way into making a Senate replacement voter.
Not
interested at all. He does it just because he likes the Elvis, he likes Elvis programs, likes the music, and he likes to put out Elvis programs for listeners. He does it just for listeners.
And he knows that there are thousands of fans out there that want to know what's happening in Graceland, want to know what Elvis' backing crew thought of Elvis and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But this guy seems to have this thing that if he's not in, nobody can have it. And he's been offered airtime on the radio, doesn't he? He's taken it. And now, that pirate base, he has another thing coming to him.
Yeah, I know.
Well, because about radio, there are tapes.
No matter who it is that's been on radio, even if they've only gone on radio for 10 or 15 minutes in an interview, like a politician or something like that, they have been recorded. Someone has a tape. Usually the station has a tape.
And it's always, the best thing about station is there's always a tape running somewhere in the building, and when there's an interview, such as something like that.
On the machine goes, and that's it. It could be there for 10 or 15 years.
You can across this man on treble T or. That was part of the station.
Very much so.
So there you go.
Yeah, they're speaking like that. It's terrible to see something like that, and it's just for one thing, making money out of it. I can understand them making money out of it, but we just saw that alone, and wanted it out for themselves, and not let anybody else promote Elvis, because they're doing this just for listeners, and not to make a profit out of it at all.
Well, this guy, Stephen Lee, is writing it in the newspaper, so we'll be ready to retarget that. He should get his facts right, of course, first, because he could leave the chat open. And I've also just finished completing a letter which we're going to send off to Graceland as regards to Paul and his service to the Elvis fans in Dublin.
Yeah,
so that will counteract
the
other fellow's letter.
Yeah.
So we wait and see.
It should be an interesting Elvis session.
Now, the other interesting case, because we're sticking with Elvis, is Paul's wife Anne underwent surgery there on Tuesday.
Yes.
And was glad to report up and bouncing around and looking 100%
better. George, actually, next week. Yes, there was serious surgery.
It was,
There were definitely worries there.
Walking around the next day, no problem.
And
looking a hell of a lot better down for during the week. So we're glad all have turned out well.
She's gone over that.
She has. No. friend and colleague here at the radio station, Steve Conway, formerly of Radio Caroline.
Oh, yeah.
Tells us that the latest situation over there is that about 1989-1990, a businessman who had no connection with radio whatsoever, or Radio Caroline for that matter, registered a company in England called Radio Caroline UK Limited.
Now,
this man has suddenly decided that, you know, this is his name. And the as a result of action pending, no station or no group in England, be it on satellite, be it on FM, medium web, be it on any radio spectrum, are allowed to use the name Radio Caroline until they can establish that
the name
belongs to him. The Roman O'Rahilly has never registered the name.
Lord, I'm surprised that they should have seen that 20 years ago.
I am told by Steve Conway that Roman has a terrible thing about putting his name on pieces of paper.
He doesn't
like doing it.
He should have done it in a case like that.
Yep.
To register a Radio Caroline Limited would not tie him into Radio Caroline itself. He should have registered the name. If it's a Radio Dublin situation, RTÉ at one stage said there had a Radio Dublin coming on for Dublin, that was FM2.
They did.
Yeah, but the name was registered.
You know the old day, don't you? He was taught this year.
Yeah. No, if anyone has a name like that, if they're thinking ahead that it's going to last a long, long time, they'd register it.
So that is the situation regarding Caroline. I'm not sure. I'm told that the Caroline on satellite, the one that comes after Quality Europe FM, is just calling themselves Europe FM at the moment.
They should be able to think of some other name that will relate to Caroline.
Maybe if they use the French.
The Ross Revenge
Maybe if they use Ross FM or Carol FM or something, people would know. I'm sure they'd come around that situation, but that is the combination of months and months of in-house fighting, waggling and killing at each other all the time. Now nobody gets to use nothing.
Yeah, it's a terrible pity. Did that almost happen with Radio Dublin at that stage?
Back in the 70s.
Back in the 70s, 77, that who was registering the name first. Now it couldn't be done and all the rest, and he went off and registered himself. Nasty.
Which
problem was very quickly sorted out.
Well, I bet it was somehow or another.
Oh, very quickly.
Can I ask you a question on that, the situation of registering? Why registers in Wales as well?
Well, it was tried way back in 74 and 76 with tried registered in Dublin Castle, and all we were told there, the registrar said, no, there were objections by the Department of Posts and Telegraphs, that there would be confusion that it could be regarded as part of the national network relations with RTÉ. And once there's an objection, there is a person up to the registrar to say yes or no, and he said, no, you can't register, and that's that.
So off you went to Wales.
Wales was the next best thing, because if you can register it in Wales, if it's a legally registered company over there, you can register the company here in Dublin Castle.
And is that how you manage it?
As an external company, and this being the main office of the company in Dublin.
Now, I thought that was
That was a loophole in the company's act. It's still closed up, of course, after we used it.
And it is never that attains to one of your constitutional actions, doesn't it? That a man, a woman of the state, has a right to open a newspaper, cinema, a radio station, as long as he or she registered it in the post office, as it was at the time, which was now Dublin Castle, and that's how you do it, isn't it?
Exactly.
I don't know when it comes to brains.
There's always little loopholes somehow along the way. The thing is to find them. To find them and use them, of course, the state will very quickly close them up. And
once you've
availed
them,
it's
very hard for them to...
Sunshine or Nova never really
got
to registering them as a radio station. They got to radio services and Sunshine Productions. Do that all right, but to register, say...
register the station as
Sunshine Radio. You couldn't. No, it wouldn't be done here.
Well, we have, without saying too much, an interesting week ahead of us.
We have, yes.
Which could be for the better of the station?
Certainly do hope so. May entail a fair few changes on program format, whatever else.
And signal rise and stuff like that.
Signal should improve, so it remains the same.
We, that's the reason I must take the chance of thanking a certain person that I was talking to on the phone during the week in relation to that same particular thing.
Oh.
And the information received from that person, which I'm sure you find a little bit interesting as well.
Yeah.
And I thanks for that person. Sometimes he listens, other times he doesn't, but he always has somebody recording his phone anyway.
Oh,
so we say thank you to him. Yes, but so it should be an interesting week.
It should.
Insofar as,
see where the session wants to from here.
But
we're not going away. No, we certainly ain't going away. Oh, I don't like the idea of it just triggering it. Boost up things and push it into a licensed stage.
Or a nimble stage. Situation.
Exactly, and we're there part of the furniture of radio, and that's it.
I'm told there is a man out in East Coast Radio, a man in a suit, who spends most of his time in the IRTC office pleading with him to do something about these terrible scourge of pirate radio stations.
The two stations, you know, the nearly local one and the radio Dublin.
Oh, a terrible thing it is that they have to put up with our damn break. Awful. And then the better part of his time out there in the department, and apparently he's got an undertaking now, the department are going to act in a way that would make an example at the station. In other words, heavy-handed tactics, in we go, sling a hammer here, sling a hammer there.
Yeah, well, they'll find it, newspapers are on the spot.
Apparently, they're going to bring the newspapers and media, which would backfire extremely good.
It usually does.
And bring an axis in front of people, and these things usually backfire.
Yeah, no, anyway, it's just tried before. The virus tried to keep the newspapers away, most times they get to putting off the phone before they're ready to face the child.
Yeah, so anyway, apparently this is what's going to happen, and I'm sure that this is not us.
That's a relief anyway.
But we will never be complacent, because there's another station within the city limits that have this thing, an undertaking from the department, that they're never going to be raided again.
No,
the law will
thing.
Never be enforced against that station again.
But there's no such thing as non-striking like that, unless you have it in writing.
You're not
taking from a person saying, we won't touch you if you're a condemnist. Forget about that.
Exactly.
That's like a politician promising you the same name as flies before an election.
Speaking of which, isn't it funny this postal dispute got itself sorted out very quickly?
Yes, we're getting near a falling date.
Especially
with
this
referendum.
The problems they had in Denmark. Well, certainly what the fools voter turnout for this country.
They do. I somehow think they'll get a less vote on it. It's going to be a close thing.
Isn't it a fact, though, that we have not simply been I do not know. I know Maastricht is a town in a foreign country, but I don't simply know what Maastricht is all about.
Most people simply don't know what this is about.
In a poll,
it's all right saying that it's about centralising everything. It's doing away with borders and all the rest.
Trade.
It'll eventually get around to one currency, which would be handy in a sense.
Yeah.
It means that whatever you're using here, if they're calling it a pound, it's the same in England, France, Germany, and all the rest.
The echo or something, isn't it?
Yeah. In other words, you'll have the echo instead of your pound note. But you can put it in your pocket and you don't need to change the bank match. You spend it wherever you're going, France, Germany, up to North or into England or at home here. It's all the same. Which is a good idea in the long run.
Yeah. I think it was kind of after the days when we used to send currency to England, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the pound.
Years ago, that was the thing, an English pound and an Irish pound. They looked different, but they were the same, an Irish pound in England or an English pound here, and just spend it and it was just taken out. Nowadays, you can't. You spend the English pound here, anyone tried to spend it in Irish pound in England. Possibility, you can't do it.
There was a situation there during the week where they took a poll of students and 80% of the students haven't the faintest idea what Maastricht was all about.
No, there really isn't information on it.
Well, I don't know neither, and I keep abreast of political
things. That's only one part, but the other idea is this, completely out and bare, is that smuggling as such is kind of over. So if you want to buy something in England, you buy it over there and you bring it home, and that's it.
The box or whatever, and don't hide it under the seat of the car or in the trunk.
There's no customs man as such checking to see what you have in your boot. There will be security checks, I'm sure. That's really annoying, but if you open the boot of your car and you have a new telly in the back of it, it's a video that you got in England, or Germany, or wherever you got it, so long as it's in the EU, grant, no problem, you have nothing to pay.
Now, how does, there's a lot of this rumbling and dumbling being thrown around, how does this affect Ireland's neutrality? This is something they won't answer.
They won't, and I can't see that being compromised at any stage, no matter what we'd say, and there would be a threat.
There would be a downfall of the government, if they
would do it, I think the idea is that we still have our neutrality, even if we sign whatever it is, because to compromise that and say put in new bases or NATO or whatever it would be, would be out of the question. Nobody would have it anyway. I don't think the EEC would push that.
There's a lot of people worried about the fact that we're on the very last part of Europe, that we'd end up taking nuclear returns.
This country simply wouldn't have it anyway.
They'd throw it out.
No, if our neutrality went as such and we were asked to do something like that, nuclear weapons, they simply wouldn't do it. I wouldn't even see a government saying yes to it. They would not have a referendum on it.
There we go. Well, we'll wait and see. A couple more days to go to polling. Anyway,
tomorrow, isn't it? I thought it was actually the 9th. It's the 18th.
Oh, it's the 18th, is it?
18th.
Yeah, it shows how much I know about the whole thing. I'll just be
disappointed. It's a terrible pity that they haven't had a lot more information, leaflets going around houses, a lot more programs on radio and television covering what exactly is. And nobody seems to really get the grasp of it. There seems to be a lot involved that nobody knows anything about. The bare basics, somewhat know about that.
It's getting a bit ridiculous, the misinformation type of type of thing. We get this thing where in the papers we hear, the government tell us that if we don't vote yes to Maastricht, our mortgages will rise, and if we don't vote
yes... Well, the only way our mortgages will rise is if the Irish currency is left outside of EEC, which...
We're already in the monetary system, aren't we?
We are already into it, but I want to change that monetary system around to this ECU business.
And then we have another situation there, if we don't vote yes to Maastricht, our unemployment is going to rise. That seems to be doing all right in the storm.
It's rising anyway, and in or out of Maastricht,
it's going to rise,
unemployment will rise. The only real advantage, I suppose, to Ireland and some of the smaller countries with this Maastricht and the EEC is the amount of extra money that the country does get back. Major structures, major roads and things like that, and huge buildings. We do get hundreds of millions, which we're supposed to spend. I suppose we do spend it on roads.
What roads would these be now?
We're supposed to be getting them for new dual carriage bells and motorways and all sorts of things.
That's like politicians' houses, isn't it? They want to have a look at the roads here in Inchicore and start on them ones.
There's no doubt the country does need the money for things like that. Our road system in this country is absolutely unbelievable. If you're doing in any other country, you simply wouldn't believe the roads. I think what originally happened was they left cars to out in the fields, and they wandered in all sorts of different directions, and someone came along and said, well, they build a road along there because the sheep know this way. By our country roads, you'd think that's what happened. They surely couldn't have built them as they were. They twist and turn forever. No reason, none that I can say, we're after driving along some of the country roads, especially going down the west there. And they twist and turn, they go around the S-fence and all sorts of things. And if you stop and have a look around, there's nothing there at all to prevent them running the road straight.
Yeah. You wonder why they don't just do one of these big, huge kind of dual carriageways from Dublin to Galway and all.
There should be big roads
to Belfast.
Oh yeah, down to the nice road is reasonably good down the long way. But
90% of our accidents are due to country roads.
Oh yeah. If anyone is driven on our country roads, you can see why. They're narrow little roads and they twist and turn.
Yeah.
They're doing well to get a half mile straight over the miles.
The sheep and cows don't mind.
They don't.
This is, hopefully next week we might have some very, very interesting and good news. Let's hope for the best. We got the fingers crossed, but we will keep our thoughts up. Hope that anything happening on our technical front at the moment, everything is moving around. Everything is chugging away. That's the way we like to see it. Going as a church. And advertising going around there just nicely. Yes, that's picking up as well. One finger has kept on the pool.
You can keep two fingers on some of them places.
We will talk to you again next week, hopefully. And by then, sure, we might have had a little letter in the Evening Herald or press about our Elvis product.
Now, someone once told me that the only bad publicity a person can get is his death notice, and he doesn't see that anyway.
Kerry once said, any publicity, bad or good, is good publicity.
Oh, yeah.
Once your name's in the paper, they know you're still around.
Exactly.
So if he wants to spend money on a cent there, we would appreciate it.
Oh, yes. Even if you're saying something bad about it. Yeah. If they print it, it's good publicity.
It's good publicity because we know them are
upset. People are saying, there's that fish, they're still around.
Yeah, that's the... There she is. We wonder why that... Oh, we're just tuning in there now. That's quite... Well, then, you know, the program's brilliant. And we go and listen to it.
Yeah.
Well, it's certainly not stopping Paul anyway, from what he's talking anyway. So
no,
Okay, so we're bang on the 3 o'clock mark, and we'll talk to you next week. And as I said, during the week, hopefully fingers crossed, and maybe we'll have good news. Maybe everything will have changed by this time next week.
Yes, we may well have a change around the format.
Only for the better of Irish radio. Well, before I was going, Analytia.
Yes.
Part of the station that have got this new license.
Mm-hmm.
The number of the Analytia station that we have, and they have been given the new community license.
Yeah.
And they are starting in October from a broadcast site a little bit between Dublin Airport and Blanchardstown.
And
the ICBS station that was on for 2 weeks there, 2 weeks gone. Remember, they were on for 2 days there, but 2 weeks ago, 103.8. That transmission was coming from the Phoenix Park. And a nice whack of a signal. Pity about the audio, but the signal was good.
Yeah.
And they were engineered there by one John Tulis.
Hello,
John.
From way back in the
257, that he used to be kind of up your backside, I think, there on the radio band.
Yeah.
Very close to your time.
That's interesting. That is the thing. We did have a look at that license situation for the community station here in Dublin. Looking at it, what the restrictions on it are absolutely ridiculous. A radio station, you could hardly call it a radio station, maybe an information station.
If all goes well, we will provide a station that can truly be called an alternative radio station, and it will put the government in a situation where they can't possibly say that we don't have a reason for being there.
Yes.
It might annoy Mr. Clifford and Mr. Milan and things like that, but we can't go on pleasing those people all the time.
They might want us to improve, but that's the general idea. Station should improve as the daily.
Well, over the next couple of months, regardless of Tuesday or not, we will be improving and things will be quicker. It's just nice that we have the opportunity to do it this way. Instead of the hard way, as they say. Okay, so listen, we'll talk to you again next week, and no doubt we'll be talking to you in the week and such things like that.
Yeah.
And, okay. So we keep an eye on the newspaper.
Yes. See you next week.
Take care of yourself now.
Okay.
There you go. That was Eamon speaking to us from his home. And that is the end of the station. Nothing else. We are looking for news readers. Anybody interested in reading news once an hour during the week, during the weekdays here on Community Radio Dublin, maybe they'd like to get in touch with us here. Our phone number is 088-582-401. That's 088-582-401. 088-582-401. I already said that, but I did. And we'd be interested in hearing from them because we are looking for people to read news. And Graham, if you're listening, we're glad to hear that you've arrived back in one piece. We were all worried about you. We were. Okay, that is it. Take care of yourselves. And thanks to Steve Conway for contributing to the station news with some of the information on Radio Caroline. And he has a telephone line, an information line, running over in England at the moment. And if you wish to have the number of that particular line, you can give me a call here at 088-582-401, and I'll give the number to you. I just don't have it at hand at the moment. And he gave me a very interesting booklet, which I read, and most interesting bits and pieces on Radio Caroline, the final couple of months of it, and stuff like that. So thank you to Steve. That's it. Where I leave you. Chris is up next, and I'll talk to you again next week when I'll be filling in for Chris, and I'll be doing station news and such stuff like that. So we'll talk to you then. Bye-bye now. Play this particular song for Audrey, just for you, love. Bye-bye now.